Look beyond the surface. See what is real in yourself and others.
You cannot see.
You think I cannot see?
Of all things, to live in darkness must be the worst.
Fear is the only darkness.
I got an exciting show lined up for you guys tonight. We have we're going to be doing part two of what we've been coined the Man Talk Project. We have we've done a show before. I was actually on Vinnie Eastwood's show a couple of weeks back, and so we are coming. We have Vinnie Eastwood joining us tonight, and a man who needs no introduction on American Freedom Radio. You can of course check out his website, which is thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, where he delivers a great dose of comedy and conspiracy 5 days a week. 5 days a week, I believe, and he'll confirm that for us. And of course, we also have Randy Moggins here with us, and he has his own radio show on offplanetradio.com. And so we're going to be continuing our discussion that we had started on Vinny's show a couple weeks back. And so I'm very excited. We're going to bring up a lot of different interesting topics. I really want to focus on an area that we started talking about on that show, which was just basically, what is the role of men in our modern day and age and in our society? What has happened to men these days in this system in which we live and in this time in which we live? And what would be, you know, the difference between when we talk about male, female, and also masculine, feminine? We're talking more about sort of an energetic or psychological type of thing. And so I want to kind of narrow down this topic and get into as many different aspects as we can. So without further ado, I want to welcome my guest. So Randy, I'm going to go ahead and welcome you first. Welcome to Truth Warrior, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on, David. It's great to be here tonight.
Awesome, awesome. And I got your website right, correct?
Offplanetradio.com. You got it.
Excellent. And when do you do your show? Is it just once a week or a couple times a week?
You know, right now it's been pretty limited to doing Wednesday nights, 9 to 11 p.m., and we're streaming that on the websites. There's two websites, offplanetradio.net. That's the other site, which is the theoretical web, the theoretical network side of it. And right now, but I do sporadic podcasts.
Oh, Randy, you're just breaking up a little bit there. Just repeat the last sentence you had there.
Oh, sorry about that. Last part of it.
Oh, Randy, you there?
Hello.
Okay, let's take a little bit of connection interference.
I can hear Randy. Can you hear me, David?
I can hear you, yes.
Randy, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, no problem.
Oh. There we go. Hey, there's Vinny. Let's bring Vinny.
There you go.
Vinny, welcome to the show, brother. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me, bro. It's good to continue the Man Talk project to let people know that men aren't just, you know, stars and pornos and also really terrible family examples, you know, that kind of thing. Isn't that what men have been reduced to? It's like, oh, you got a big wang. We'll give you a nice job as a porno boy. Other than that, or we're freaking Homer Simpson or Peter Griffin. You know, trying to attract and kill sailors with my siren song.
We most definitely have been reduced to that, absolutely. And basically, hey, Vinny, let's start with you, actually. I wanted to get you guys' definition of terms here, because before we get into the subject, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, they talk about men and women, the differences, the battle of the sexes, etc. And then when you get into doing some research into ancient traditions and they're talking about, you know, the divine feminine, the divine masculine, masculine, and it's a whole other realm of looking at this thing. So maybe, Vinny, just go ahead and give your distinction between, you know, what we would say is male and female, and what you would say would be sort of masculine and feminine, and if there's any difference the way you look at it.
Well, see, we're talking about the divine feminine, the divine masculine, and I'm here, man. You've got some real bad problem with your audio today, David. Some people talk about the divine feminine, yeah, some about the divine masculine. Whereas me, you know, sometimes I think it's time to, talk about the divine masculine and how trippy everything is. Because that's essentially what society has turned into. It's turned into this really abominable position for any manly man. Okay, manly man. This is how he's portrayed in the media and by the feminazi. He's violent. He's aggressive. He's callous. He doesn't care about anything. All he's good for, and even in fact, he's obsolete. Basically, we're just objects for sex and violence, and that's about all we're good for. You know. And the part of the sex thing, hey, there's innumerable other products out there where women can purchase for like $3.95 or $3.69.
Yeah,
that means that they no longer.
Sorry, Vinny, you're coming in a little choppy. I'm just trying to see if it's coming in on my end or your end or so that we can hear exactly what you're saying there. I got a little bit of that. I'm not sure.
Yeah. And what about you, Randy? Okay. Am I coming through clear for you?
You are, I think we're hearing each other. I think it's chopping up on David's side.
Yeah. AFR, producer, drop out, okay. And David from his own show and then reconnect it.
We're taking over now.
Okay, take over. I'll be back.
Yeah, you're out. Well, you're out. Okay. I was talking about on my show today about kind of leftist movements and things like that and where they're actually moving the country, because the right of the left, the left of the left, and that's about it. You know, you got full-on, hardcore, tyrannical, Agenda 21, socialist Stalinism coming in globally. And you know what is a real threat to that? Actual manly men who go, no, frack you, I want to resist. I can shoot a gun. I will blow your blue helmeted head off. You know, that kind of a mentality. Honor, decency, common morality, respect, helping out a brother from another mother. Those are the kind of male aspects that seem to be blown away.
My God, you just nailed it. The whole integrity thing. And that's actually what we talked about the last time as well, was just, you know, we have all these stereotypes that they want to fit us into. Well, you're a jock, you sit around, you watch football, you drink beer, your feet smell, you clip your toenails on the rug. And it's kind of like, you know, maybe there's something deeper in the whole male experience that has been kind of fluffed over by the media who promote the male stereotype that you see on television.
Absolutely. Now, guys, I'm back on the air. Can you hear me okay?
We can, yes.
Awesome.
I've been able to since day one.
Oh, perfect.
No, but I seem to disagree with the point Randy was making there. I don't think there really is any higher calling to a man than clipping your toenails on the rug. I mean, you know, that's just me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you guys, I heard both of you guys go on that, and I really appreciate that because, I mean, speaking as men, we've all experienced going out with the guys, going out with your friends, many of them who are not awake fully to really what's going on in the world, the real problems that we face, which is pretty sad because I remember sitting around a table with my grandfather, and unfortunately he was in a nursing home, but a lot of people at the nursing home, a lot of the guys in that category, they were sitting around the checker table and talking about what they had survived, which was of course World War II and many other different things. And they were talking to me, and it inspired me because they were saying, even as a young child, they were telling me, you can never forget what happened. You've got to always remember what took place so that you can prevent it from happening again. And it seemed like back in the day, men would sit around and they would talk about these issues. They would talk about politics. They would talk about, you know, just what's going on in the world. They would at least converse about these things. But now in our day and age, when we're out with the average, you know, our average friends, mostly what you're talking about is media or, you know, just everyday minutiae, stuff that really doesn't matter. Not that there's anything wrong with it per se, but it's the inescapable focus of the topical conversation amongst men. And I just feel like the perfect word is nothing else but castration. It's sort of, that's what it's come down to. It's more of a cycle.
I've coined the term psychological castration.
Oh, exactly. It sums it up. So, I mean, speaking from your own experience, let's start with you, Randy. I'm sure you've got some friends that might not be fully up to snuff on what's going on or going on any kind of journey of trying to figure out who they are, why they're here, where they're going, etc. And what's your experience been?
I don't anymore. And here's why. Because I've reached the age where I don't require the type of social interaction anymore that I did when I was in my 20s, my 30s, and probably, you know, a little bit past that, where I went out with guys and tossed down the beers and, you know, watched the sports programs. But it's been a game of attrition for about 10 years for me, which is about the same clock that's been running on my consciousness development. And what happens is that people just drop off the map because they discover that the old you isn't there anymore. And the new you is both much more serious and yet at the same time actually a hell of a lot more fun. But they got to raise their own game a little bit. So for me, I don't have that as a present day experience, but I remember it more from the past. And I humored that for a long time. I would go to take a weekend, go with the guys, go to Philadelphia, see the 76ers, drink a lot, do the male crude humor. And I felt empty. And I didn't know why I felt empty. Well, part of it was because in that relationship, that whole equation, there was no interaction of something that was a little bit higher. So over time, I guess I've kind of sloughed off a lot of what I would call the dead weight in my life.
Yeah, that's essentially what happens is you basically you grow up and then you realize that the people that you grew up with didn't actually grow up. And you're like, don't need them anymore. You, over there, what's your name? Oh, my name's such and such and blah, blah, blah. Have you already grown up? You already know what you're talking about? You're actually doing something with your life that that isn't meaningless, vacuous, and basically conforming to the New World Order styles of being a douchebag? No, I'm not. Well, would you like to be friends? Yeah, sure, why not? And that's essentially what happens in a nutshell, because just the other night I had a very long, deep conversation with one of my good longtime friends, Jono, and we sort of stayed up all night talking, and he was revealing a lot of things about his past and a lot of things that he's not particularly proud of. And we're both looking at each other because we're basically the only friends each other has had for a very long time that are actually going somewhere in our lives. And that's probably the reason why we're still friends, is because we acknowledge who we were in the past, but we acknowledge that we're not the same people anymore, and that going nowhere in life is not freaking worth the effort, and certainly not worth the effort of going nowhere in a life shared with somebody else who's also going where? Nowhere. That's right. Because they're not developing. They're not questioning themselves. They're not trying to make more money, have a healthier family, have a healthier life. They're not trying to expand their minds at all whatsoever. You know, like Jono's listening to these self-help audio tapes and stuff like that because he's like driving around. And it's like, you know what you do when you kind of don't feel inspired anymore? You do a bit of learning, apparently. When you're actually learning things that you don't already know, you start to expand your mind a little bit, and then you start to value each day just that little bit more, because at the end of this day that you've done absolutely nothing, what have you gained? Oh, we've gained a little bit of money so that you can survive for another week working at your slave job. Well, that's not freaking useful at all. If you learn something, on the other hand, learn something valuable about yourself or about your life or about the way the world truly works, that is what being a man is all about.
Wow, that's it. You hit the nail on the head. And I think that tell me what you think about this. This situation that we're in and the way that the advertising, TV, the media, which is pretty much the main influence in people's lives these days, it's kind of turned into a sort of a new cult or a new type of religion when you look at it really objectively. And what it is it seems to be less thought, less deep inner thinking whatsoever, and the whole, you know, just do as many shots and beer funnels as you possibly can, watch a bunch of garbage, focus on sports, you know, live vicariously through a bunch of these role models that we're going to set up as superheroes for you, because you, of course, can never be, you know, George St. Pierre or Michael Jordan or any of these people. So you're just going to live the rest of your life fawning at the feet of these people and just giving away your own sovereignty and your own potential, basically. And I think that that is by design, because if you've got a population of the males, which of course the elites have always feared, because they're the ones that, you know, start the resistances in terms of the physical assaults on their castles, etc. They need to keep men in this type of box where they're disempowered, where they're not being that role of the protector anymore. They're not filling any kind of role, really, other than just as they're portrayed in the media, useless slobs, right?
We're dependent. And that's part of the socialist agenda. If you have a whole bunch of men who are completely dependent on the state, never even know anything about self-reliance, how in the frack are they ever going to resist the state?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly.
And I've been just talking with a couple of mates just the other day, actually, and they were going on about the rugby. And apparently this rugby team in Auckland has run the Log Award, I think they call it, the Ranfurly Shield, for the first time in 65 years, okay? And they're going off the wall about it. And I say, okay, I'm not paying any attention to this. And they're like, why not? And I say, because it doesn't actually really affect me. And they're like, well, what do you mean? I say, well, does it really affect you? Do you actually share in their accomplishment of winning this the shield? And they go, yes, I do. And I go, in what way? And they're like, well, you know what? Actually, I guess I haven't. I say, well, that's the reason why they throw all these sports in front of you, mate, is to distract you, make you think that you're achieving something vicariously through a bunch of sports people who have never even met you, don't give a frack about you, and are covered in advertisements like a gosh dang NASCAR driver. So all they're doing is distracting you, taking out all your male energy, taking away your own personal sense of accomplishment, and at the same time, they're creating a spectacle for which to distract society in the main away from very important issues, much like they did in Rome around the crumbling of the Roman Empire. Yeah. They gave them bread, the
gladiator
circuses,
sports,
put the gladiators in the middle there, and just say, hey, look, you know, I know the empire is crumbling, and I know that you're supposed to be doing something to help your country, but please, instead, watch these numbskulls bang their heads together and feel like you're achieving something as a result.
Exactly. Guys, don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back here with Vinny Eastwood and Roger Price. I'm your host, David Whitehead, and I'm here with my two very special guests, Randy Moggins and Vinny Eastwood, and we are just breaking down this is the second episode of the Man Talk Project, and we're talking about men. We're talking about where have the adults gone, where have the real men gone that would stand up to a lot of the things that are going on today in no matter what country in the world that you live, and we're basically seeing a lack of resistance. And when we were first breaking a few different points down there, we were bringing up the idea that basically this is part of a social engineering project where they need to castrate the real essence of the masculine side, which has always been associated with action, the action instinct to react when you're under attack, to see danger, to always try to strive for something higher, to, you know, it's not about competition. It's not about just survival of the fittest. It's about seeing something that is wrong that is happening around you and choosing to act and choosing to do what's right. And we just see a lack of that going on, especially in the men these days. And maybe Randy, we'll start with you in this section. What do you think basically has been going on behind the scenes to bring this about? I mean, you've been doing some research for a while in these different subjects, and how orchestrated do you think this is versus how natural do you think this is? Is it a bit of both?
Oh, more you just walked side? Into. You just walked into two words. How natural is this? Let me get this out of my system now, because please, I need to say this. What the hell is going on with this Bradley Manning thing? I mean, it used to be called This Man's Army, and now all of a sudden we find out that this person, Bradley Manning, who we thought was probably a whistleblower, and it turns out now we've got this whole conversation that's gone into transgender in the military. A man who wants to be a woman. No, he is a woman. No, he's a man. We're confused here. But now it's Chelsea Manning, and they want the government to pay for the hormone treatments for Chelsea Manning to be in Leavenworth with a bunch of men. What the flip is going on with this shit?
Yeah, well, I mean, that just came out of the blue. When I saw that, the first thing I thought was, someone got to him. This is staged. This is something that they're trying to do to just pull the attention away from the case. Or you know, is that what you think? Or
yeah, let's stop talking about, you know, U.S. government documents. Let's stop talking about the WikiLeaks. Let's stop talking about the New World Order. Okay, stop talking about that. You know what's really important? A man and his vagina.
It's pretty much, and that seems to be the focus of the different, especially the media can jump on this and just smear anything that had, you know, any of this stuff that was coming up with all this whole I am Bradley Manning, and now Bradley Manning doesn't know really who he is, apparently.
Hey, well, now the women can join and hold a little sign up that says, I am Chelsea Manning.
Yeah, I guess so.
See, this actually
has to be disinformation, or this has to be something where, or just it was something going on behind the scenes, and then it just they chose to bring it out like this so that, again, it takes the focus away from the real issue.
Damn, we can't cover it up by putting him in jail. Let's cover it up by putting him in a woman's shoes. Yeah, that'll distract the living frack out of everybody.
I'd like a really nice pair of black pumps, please. You know, this actually goes to the heart of what we're talking about, because there's something in the media, and unfortunately I heard some of the coverage that National Public Radio did on this, and they actually have elected to go politically correct and refer to him, her, as Chelsea Manning, when in fact no name change has been done, and they bought into the whole thing. So I think this is just another assault, not only on manhood, but on the most basic level of what you would call the military. Look, we all know the military is messed up, but there is a group of people inside of our military, whether you're in the U.S., Canada, Australia, wherever you are, there are good people there. There are men there of valor. There are men there who will fall on the grenade, take the bullet, do whatever they got to do. And while I don't agree with their missions, I do understand the mindset of people who are military. And this is just like basically pissing all over the military while at the same time mocking them and putting this gross joke on top of what originally started out as leaking, frankly, some pretty critical information that I think the world has a right to know what was leaked there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, I do actually also want to put out to people that this is part of the socialist agenda as well. If you look up documents from the Fabian Society and a number of other socialist think tanks, even as far back as the 60s, it's all written down black and white. We want to destroy the family unit. We want to promote homosexuality. We want to confuse the genders and all of this kind of stuff. It's all part of the agenda, so to speak. All right, and why do you think that is? You know, if men are always busy questioning themselves and their own sexuality and whether or not I really am a woman or really am a man or whatever, let me just drink out of this BPA containing plastic bottle for a second here in order to simulate some estrogen. Give me a second.
Nice.
Oh, man, that shrinks them a little. That's nice. Now, I also. Here's the other agenda here that people really aren't talking about. Okay, not only is it homosexuality being promoted? Let's say that being gay is natural, it's perfectly fine, no worries. It's been in existence since all the way back through in ancient Macedonia when King Alexander was taking on Persia and everything like that, you know. The Olympics were originally gay men wrestling. There's a whole bunch of long history for it, but it was very, very, very isolated. And nowadays, it just seems to be exploding. There's gay characters on every single program. There's gay promotion everywhere. Now, if you were to, say, insult a communist and say you're a communist scumbag or something like that, they go, well, it's free speech. But if you're gay and somebody says, I don't like you because you're gay, it's now hate speech and you can be arrested. Now, think about that. What kind of free speech do you have in a society where you can't criticize anybody's sexual preference or anything like that? I mean, nowadays, I mean, I don't know about you guys when you were back in time, high school or whatever, but everybody used to insult everybody who was heterosexual for being gay, so on and so forth, just as a form of an insult. Now you can't do it. Otherwise, it's hate speech, even if the person you're insulting is or isn't gay. Okay? This is something that destroys the family unit to a large degree. I'm sorry, yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no, I think that's really where that's going. And, personally, if whether you're gay, whether you're straight, whether you're transgender or whatever, I'm totally cool with that. As long as you are being free or expressing yourself the way you want to express yourself, that doesn't bother me. What bothers me is when you have this social engineering element that is there to, like you said, to confuse the identity of people, to confuse the topic of conversation from, in the example of Bradley Manning, from something that is political, something that is talking about revealing secrets that the government is withholding, etc. And now all of a sudden the conversation goes back to something like this, and some, you know, Hollywood can get a hold of this, the media gets a hold of this, and they just run with it. And then again, it's all about trying to decay the family unit, which is the goal, and they'll use any means necessary to try to accomplish that. And, you know, with men today, you know, if we kind of switch gears a little bit and look at the situation where a lot of look at the economy, look at the lack of jobs that are out there. So now you've got men that maybe would have just working a regular 9-to-5 job and then coming home and, you know, tending their families and just spending time with their families. Now you got to work 2-3 jobs just to make ends meet. And on the other side of the coin, you have the mothers that are also now having to work 2-3 jobs. So you got both parents completely occupied. Who's raising these kids? Well,
the state.
It's the media. It's the state. Exactly. And that's also what they've been looking to do.
Well, the governments of the world have known for a long time that if you ever wanted to take over a country, the first target is the children. Always the first target is the children. Kinder is a German word, now kindergarten, you know. It happened when World War II, or pre-World War II, Nazi Germany outlawed homeschooling. Mm-hmm. And then that was the very first group of people who they took rights away from. It wasn't the communists, it wasn't the socialists, it wasn't the religious people, it wasn't the Jews. It was homeschoolers. Think about that, okay? You and your ability to raise your own kids and to teach them your morals, your ethics, your views on the world, that kind of thing. The state struggles very, very plainly to stop that from happening. That way they can attach themselves onto your children like a mind parasite and raise them up to be brainwashed little slaves.
No, exactly. And if we look at our parents' generation and then our grandparents' generation compared to, you know, men in their 20s and 30s today, we see a huge difference in values, in what's cool versus what's not cool, the way men are, you know, treat women, the way women treat men. We're living in a whole different world. And I have a feeling when I talk to, you know, my parents' generation and their parents' generation, they're having trouble keeping up with it. They're you know, even then they're in shock as to they don't really know how to fit in. Plus you have this explosion in modern technology. Everybody's glued to their iPhones. And it's a totally different world. And if you look at it, even in the eyes of, like, say, the last 20 years, you've seen all of these different things increasing. And as a result, you see more and more young children on psychotropic drugs, on all kinds of antidepressants. The suicide rates are just flying off the charts. I don't even think anybody's keeping track of it anymore. That's how bad it's getting. And so we see the decay everywhere. And when we're talking again about this whole masculine feminine concept, I definitely agree that it's not having to do with male, female in terms of gender. What we're talking about here is basically just, you know, two frequencies of vibrational energy, if for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. And when you have a confusion of that energy going on, whether with the women, they're trying to masculine or, you know, make the women more masculine. Randy, you brought this up in the last conversation about how on all the TV shows now you've got the women that are becoming more of the male type role and fitting in with the males and in the male role models. And then you've got the men that are becoming more feminized. So you're getting an imbalancement taking place. And I think that when you should be balanced both. You should be yin and yang. You should have a good balanced masculine, feminine energy and a consciousness within your being. But they need to find any way to distort, twist, and manipulate that so that you're off your game, you're off your base, and you have nowhere to really launch. And then you have the confusion that we see. I mean, what do you guys think about that?
I do think so. Randy, you haven't spoken for a moment, but go for your life.
No, actually, this has all been designed. This is the confusion that we see in our culture now was socially engineered way, way back. It's funny, on my show last week, I read a report that came out of Tavistock on what they were designing back in the 30s. And they were socially engineering from the beginning to deconstruct the normal family unit and to deconstruct the culture using anything that they had. They were anticipating electronic media at that time. They were also, through the Nazi programs, anticipating deconstructing gender in certain ways. A lot of people don't know that that behind the scenes, the Nazis also were promoting homosexuality, even as they were persecuting homosexuals in the culture itself. And at the same time, they were blurring lines in a lot of ways. But the culture that you have now is so messed up because we live in front of our media. You know, maybe the biggest problem is that box that we installed in our living room and allowed to take over our minds a long time ago. We went from Ozzie and Harriet to,
The Simpsons.
The Simpsons is, yeah, that's a great one. To where now we don't know what the hell a family is. Now you've got, what is it, Family Guy, where you've got a dog that's basically the head of the household and a smart-ass baby and a father who's a complete dumbass. So you have all this inversion of roles that just go round and round. And don't think that doesn't sink into the consciousness, especially with young kids and especially, from my perspective in my household, young males. Because I have a house full of males here. I have two teenage sons.
Mm. And also, the other element is how feminists see themselves. And I was talking to my sister the other day, and she's a bit of a feminist, and she was saying, well, you know, if it wasn't for feminism, I'd be, you know, married to some guy, and I would have had three kids, and I probably would have blown my brains out a whole while ago. And I said, well, do you know who funded feminism? And they're like, oh, that's irrelevant. And I go, well, actually it is. Who funded feminism? It was the Rockefellers. Why did they fund feminism? Well, they knew that it would destroy the family unit, because as even the statistics prove this to be the point. I think it was in 1969, close to 90% of women who were attained higher education in college never had children. Okay, and so it deprived women of any kind of traditional value or role, and it seemed to say that being a mother, raising children properly, was a bad thing, that this was part of your oppression, that this was something that was bad for you, this was something evil that was imposed on you. It wasn't like, I'm a mother and I'm raising children who will go on to be the leaders of this country, who will go on to be responsible citizens, who will care for me long after I'm able to take care of them or work or do anything of that nature. No, no, no. Now it is. You have to work and you're a slave and you'll never have kids. Invariably, that's what has happened with feminism. It hasn't worked out too well for anybody, because now nobody got a choice about anything either way.
Yeah, and they always hide behind the illusion of choice, and that everything is done for, you know, the freedom of choice. If you look at when they were trying to abolish slavery, they really didn't abolish slavery. They just abolished one form of slavery and then brought these guys in to make them legal persons so that they could contribute to American society, pay taxes, and become another form of slave, which, you know, we all remain to this day. So it seems like they'll pull the old 1-2 punch.
We'll be right back, folks.
Yeah, there we go. There's a break. back, everybody. We are live on Truth Warrior. Whitehead. I'm here with my two very special guests, Vinny Eastwood from the VinnyEastwoodShow.com and Randy Moggins from OffPlanetRadio.com. And we're having a very interesting discussion, trying to bring in some different elements to what's going on with the men these days. And I just wanted to throw out a little Celtic prophecy that I came across not too long ago, where basically a priestess was foretelling the approaching end of the divine age and the beginning of a new one, in which she says the summers would be flowerless, the cows milkless, the women shameless, and the men strengthless, in which there would be trees without fruit and seas without fish, when old men would give false judgments and legislators making unjust laws, when warriors would betray one another, and men would be thieves, and there'd be no more virtue left in the world. And this is, of course, a couple thousand years old. So I don't know, guys, what do you think? Did they nail it on the head?
I think the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, I definitely look at it in that sense as well. Maybe these were some different cycles that we seem to be going to, and it could relate to, of course, just human consciousness in general. It could relate to, you know, the topical planet Earth cycles. You know, a lot of people predict these different Earth changes, etc. But one of the things that I see that's pretty much replete throughout any of these ancient texts is that we keep coming upon this age where, you know, it's sort of a different type of dark age. It's not necessarily dark ages that, you know, when you look at the Middle Ages and the Dark Ages, the Inquisition, etc. It's sort of an updated dark ages in terms of ignorance and consciousness. And
a psychological dark age.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like, you know, it reminds me of that scene in Aliens where Sigourney Weaver comes back and she tries to explain to them what the alien did to the ship. And they said, oh, but you know, it can't be a thing. And she says, did IQs just drop sharply while I was away? You know, and that's kind of what men like us feel like these days. It's like, was I asleep for like 20 years or something like that? And I just woke up have you ever seen the film Idiocracy, where he goes to sleep for 500 years in some kind of a time capsule and he wakes up and the entire world is full of morons because the corporations bought out everything that was important to the culture and just dumbed everybody down so they'd never realized that they were being scammed, and now there's no food, no water, no nothing, and everything's completely fracked, and all the old technology and everything that smart people built is just being basically run down and being destroyed because everybody's too freaking stupid to fix any problems.
Yeah, it seems to be a trend in Hollywood these days. And, you know, that's a good thing to bring up as well, where we're talking about culture creation through the media, which is sort of the biggest oracle these days. It goes back to that movie Network, where that character, I forget his name at the moment there, but he was basically talking about television being the most powerful, awesome force the world has ever seen. In the whole godless world, exactly. And here we are. And with Hollywood pumping out these movies, everything's apocalyptic and it's the end of the world and the aliens are invading, and everything that we're seeing take place is taking place on a more extreme level. And I think that, you know, to some extent you could look at that and some people say, oh, it's predictive programming. They're trying to instill fear and then have us actually bring this type of future about, which is true. But I think this is very much ultimately an attack on consciousness. And it's a way to subconsciously have people create this sort of apocalyptic environment, which makes them easy prey for, you know, intelligent psychopaths. And I think when people think about the powers that be or the controlling elite or whatever you want to call it, a lot of people maybe think that they are somehow not as intelligent because of the fact that they're not moral. And I would tend to disagree. I would say, actually, the morality that we have is, in their estimation, it's our weakness, because of the fact that we, you know, when we cause some kind of action, we hope that it would cause and bring about good. And we don't want to be involved in war. I mean, the average person you talk about, they don't want to be involved in war. They don't want to see any of these things taking place in the world, but they're taking place anyways. And that's because there is sort of, it's the system itself has become psychotic, and it's been reflecting the people that created it. And then I see, you know, just regular, average, everyday Joes just basically being pulled into it because of a lack of intelligence. So I would say that what we're up against here is very sophisticated, very intelligent. These people know us probably way better than we know ourselves. And we're left helpless here in one sense or another. That doesn't mean we are helpless, but because of the fact that there's this level of ignorance that's taking place, I mean, that's really the only hope, as far as I see, is that we can transcend that and try to reconnect with that spirit of rebellion again, that spirit of standing up and seeing and being aware, at least being aware that this is actually taking place.
You know, I wonder if what you're talking about is really rebellion or is it nobility? You see, I draw the distinction where I go rebelling from what? The uprising of the just against the wicked, against the degradation of the energy, the lowering of moral standards, the lowering of intellect, those are not norm. They redefine norm in order to get us to that place. So my rebellion is an act of nobility in rising up and saying, no, your system is sick, it's broken, it's dying, and I do not stand with it anymore. And I think when you reframe it that way, you get a slightly different argument, because a lot of people are uncomfortable with the role of uprising, because in our culture now, it's not only politically correct, it's actually goddamn illegal to speak up against the status quo in this country. I mean, they will come for your guns. They will confiscate your computers. They will break down your doors. When you finally transgress the system, they come at you with jackboots. And I look at it another way and I say, no, this is an act of nobility. I'm not a martyr, but I'm certainly willing to lay my butt on the line in order to assert the nobility that actually is inside of human beings when they're allowed to develop it.
And I've just popped a picture into the chat here for you guys to look at. Now, this is the daughter of the Prime Sinister, John Key. Okay, she got red dyed hair, red lipstick, hugely overdone eyelashes, you know, drawn on eyebrows, got a cherry in her mouth, wearing red kind of long sleeve gloves, holding a fake red pistol. She's got red G-string on her and a word that says pop inside her underwear. Okay, pop my cherry, baby. That's basically what's going on here. This is the 20-year-old son of the current prime minister, 20-year-old daughter, sorry. Maybe a bit of a Freudian slip. Maybe she'll change her name to Bradley. But does it work the other way around? I don't know. So this is what we have, okay? This is the daughter of what you'd expect to be a statesman, okay? And doing virtual pornography, right? And very suggestible nonetheless. And get this. This is part of her art school curriculum, okay? This is a part of her Parisian art school curriculum. And this is the example. This is the example that I want to show people about why the system and its controllers are so fracked and are so out of touch with morality, with reality, with anything that is good and decent. Immoral behavior produces more immoral behavior, does it not? And if we're not talking about being demure, if we're not talking about having respect for your own body, for human consciousness, for morality, then what kind of future do we have? And the answer is a future much like this young woman right here. Pornographic, disgusting, and all done for the sake of art. And indeed, this is another part of the satanic agenda, allegedly, is to really, really get into modern artwork, because guess how to control people? You control the people that control their thinking. They'll control the media, they'll control the arts, they'll control everything that really provokes any thoughts. And what kind of thought is being promoted by a young girl with a fake gun, with a cherry in her mouth, and the word pop popped into her underpants?
Yeah, and like you said, this is supposed to be from someone who's supposed to be a statesman, supposed to be representing morality. And, you know, again, with women and the role that they're being led into playing, especially in the media, where it's nothing but pornographic. It's a way of agitating the males to basically get this whole hard, you know, playing hard to get, driving.
Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Ladies, I got a question for you. When was the last time a man opened a door for you? When was the last time a man stood up at the table when you arrived or left? When was the last time that he would, I don't know, throw his jacket or whatever over a puddle so you could walk across it? When was the last time you were given flowers or chocolates when he hadn't done anything wrong and he was just doing it to appreciate you? When was the last time your man gave you a foot massage when he didn't ask for it? When was the last time? When was the last time? When was the last time? And the answer is these things that women once were treated with respect, with dignity, with reverence by men no longer exist. And then we rephrase the question, when was the last time a man expected sex from you after buying you dinner? When was the last time a man treated you like an object?
Yep. No, great points, and we definitely have to take a look at that in our modern day, because we're just seeing nothing but the degradation of those virtues and those morals. And so let's continue with this on the other side, guys. We're going into the second hour, so folks, don't go anywhere. You're here on Truth Warrior, and be back in a few short minutes, so stay put.